This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Has Santa been to your house? That's what I want to know first thing.
Yes. Santa has been to the house, and everything has been taken care of, and all the food has been eaten, and so it's just about nap time already.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Santa came to my house, and, you know, I got to see him this year. I was out early. Before sunlight, and I saw him and the sleigh. It's jet-powered now. Did you know that?
Really?
It is a jet-powered sleigh, and it flies fast. I mean, when it whizzed by my house, it was all I could do to see him and the reindeer. I mean, it was fast.
Well, I didn't know that. So he doesn't need the reindeer anymore?
Well, the jet power is at the back of it, and the reindeer just kind of pushes them forward.
Really?
I mean, they fly much faster because of the jet-powered on the sleigh.
Oh.
It's an amazing thing.
Wow.
It's the most beautiful sleigh you've ever seen in the whole world.
I'm sure.
Yes,
it is
amazing.
Is it like gold and shiny and that red with the gold trim?
It's that beautiful red with the gold trim. It's an amazing thing. And the packages were packed, I mean, high.
Oh.
I don't know how he keeps them all in the sled. The packages were packed so tight in there and so high.
I have tried for so many years to get up early or stay up late and see Santa in the sleigh, and I've never done it before. I bet that was magic.
But it is. It's magic. You've missed out. And everybody, as he flies across, should go out and see if they can see him, you know, in the night. It's an amazing sight.
Wow. Oh, man,
yes.
I bet that was something really, really special. That's cool.
It was.
And I had no idea he had a jetpack.
He has a jetpack. And then to come in the house, see the little children get up, their faces were amazed at all the presents under the tree that had appeared. It was wonderful. Everybody had chocolate.
Mm.
They had all kinds of biscuits and jelly and you name it.
Mm.
Everybody had, and then we turned the fireplace on, and, Max didn't know what to think about all this paper, but he thought it was a magnificent Christmas.
That's right. This is your first Christmas with Max, isn't it?
It's the first Christmas that Max has got to participate. And that means running all over the house, tearing paper up, carrying paper in his mouth. You know, it's very magical around here.
And he's a labradoodle, right? How old is he?
Max, just in the 12th of December, he was a year old.
Oh, wow. Neat.
Yeah, Max is just a year old. It's been quite a year with Max, as you know. I'm going to tell you how expensive Max is.
Oh, boy.
He has his own account.
What?
He has his own account. You know how you have all your files, you know, for each bill and each thing?
Yes.
Max has his own bill file.
Are you serious?
That's how expensive he has been. It's been a very telling year.
He needs to have his own accountant, doesn't he?
Yes, he needs his own accountant. That's what Max needs. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord.
Has he been a good boy?
So,
did Santa visit Max, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me tell you what he got.
Oh, boy.
He got this little dog that you put the water bottle in, and its heart is beating, and you put it in his bed with him to keep him company.
Really?
Yes, isn't that a wonderful idea? Why is it you and I don't ever think to invent some of these things?
I don't know, because that's brilliant. That's genius.
It is the most brilliant, genius thing I ever heard of. And I saw it advertised. I said, I know Max needs that. That he needs a little friend, you know, when he goes to bed. It keeps him company.
Yeah.
And they say any puppy or dog that's stressed, this will take the stress out of their life. They've got somebody with them all the time.
Maybe I need one of those for me.
You probably need one, too. Not just for dogs. You need one, too. I can see it now.
Yeah, dog toys for people.
That's right. I think you're right. I just wish I'd invented some of these things myself. Oh. I think it would have been magnificent to have done that.
I know. It's shocking when you see all the things that they have for pets, like dogs and things, like between like the clothes and the toys and the technology things, you know, like this thing with the heart that beats and all that. My goodness, it's a $1 billion industry just for pets alone. It's amazing.
What I've noticed in the last few months, pets go everywhere with their owner. Oh. They take their kids to school, the pet's there. They go to work. A lot of these people take their pets to work. It seems like the pets are everywhere they go. Every time I look at a car, there's the pet in the back window.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out. So you're right. And then I don't know how many other places have it, but they have the doggy spas here.
Really?
And the dogs can go to the spa for the day and play with other puppies.
Oh.
When Max goes, he comes home so tired, he just wants to go to bed. And I took him one day, and they said, well, we had to wait to bring him in because they're playing tag.
Really?
The dogs were playing tag.
So you couldn't pick him up because he was too busy playing tag.
He was too busy playing tag. And when you read their website, all these women have said when their doggy gets there, they get so excited, you know, to play at the other puppies. And they're telling the truth. The dogs come home just exhausted.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, yeah, they love it. They come home tired. And who would have ever thought that people would pay to take their doggies to doggy daycare? They can be groomed while they're there, or they can just play that day, or they can go in for training. And I asked them last week, how many dogs in a day, if you were full, could you do? She said, lots of times we have 150 dogs.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And if your dog is there for Christmas, They do a Christmas dinner for them, special treats, special cookies.
Wow, it's the works.
It's the works. These people have two places, and there's another new spa for dogs opening in town.
Really?
It is big. It's big. There's just no telling how much they make.
When you start to take, because I it sounds like Max has been there a bunch of times. When you start to take him, does he know what like where he's going? And so he like starts to whine and cry and get all happy and excited when he knows where he's going?
No, he doesn't know because he gets to go. Sometimes when we take the children to school, he rides. So if we say, do you want to get in the car and go? He gets in the car. Man, he's ready to go. He doesn't know where he's going in the car, but he loves the ride in the car.
He doesn't care where
he's
going.
He just jumps it. No, he doesn't care as long as he can get in the car and go with us. You know, he's ready to go.
Does he stick his face out the window?
No, he's not that type of dog. We don't know why.
Really?
No, he doesn't seem to want to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I am, too, because we put the window down. He didn't seem particularly interested in putting his head out. I don't know. But Max is a fun-loving dog, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And full of energy.
We have a little pile of dirt. Yeah, I mean, his energy is so high. He goes out there and stands on top of the pile of dirt and gets a toy and puts it in his mouth like, I am king of the hill.
Does he bury his toys and hide them?
He does hide them. He doesn't bury them, but he hides them everywhere.
Really?
If he thinks you might take a toy, he'll go out way far in the yard and and hide it. He thinks nobody can see his toys. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. They're his, not yours or anybody else's. All his.
They're all his.
Wow.
He's not going to share them.
How cute. That is really, really cute.
Well, you know, I was thinking of Christmas past and Christmas present. Can you remember what your best Christmas was?
I don't know. There's been so many. Probably one of the earliest ones was when I woke up and got a guitar. The first one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What about you?
How old were you?
Oh, probably five, seven, something like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you learn to play it?
Oh, yeah. Not very well.
Okay, but you learned to play it. That's the main thing.
Yeah. It's not offensive to most people. Most people.
Do you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
Mm-mm. I've got one sister, she lives... She lives like halfway across the country, so we hadn't even seen her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We tried to do a Zoom thing a couple of years ago, but that technologically was a disaster, so we've never done one since.
So you're not a close family then?
Not really.
Like my family, we're always all together.
Oh.
I mean, you know, it's always at my house. All these years, my children always come to my house. The grandchildren are always at my house for Christmas. It's been that way since, I can't even remember when I didn't have all my family together with me. And, of course, you know, everybody lives near me. You know, when they bought their houses are 5 minutes away.
Mm.
You know? So we are a tight-knit family. We're close. Everybody does things to help each other throughout the year. So we naturally spend Christmas together. And everybody comes for breakfast and lunch.
Really? And then nap time,
they don't
sure.
just come for lunch. Yeah. They come for breakfast because they all get up early before 9 o'clock to get over here. So, you know, I always have breakfast and we always have lunch together.
Wow. That's cool. It's great when not everybody kind of scatters everywhere across the world. It's nice when
That's
everybody's
right.
like right there a few minutes away from each other because you get a chance to see each
and,
other
you know,
and stuff.
Yeah, and most people are not that way. You know, their children live a long way. The grandparents live a long way. You know, Fox and Friends has got a new book coming out about all the Christmases and what Christmas means to them. And Bill Hemmer, I think, said it the best. He said, it's about family.
Yes.
And going home for Christmas, he said his greatest memories is of his grandparents. He said... all the years he was growing up, they always went to the grandmother's house, and sugar cookies were her specialty.
Oh.
And he said he learned so much from his grandparents, and growing up with them, they were really, really special to him. And he said, and to this day, he flies home to Cincinnati, Ohio, to be with his family. And so his brothers and sisters are there, and they're a big family. They're Catholic, he said. And so going home for Christmas, he said, is the best thing in the world.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, if you can go home and see your loved ones, you know, it's better than any present.
Yeah, it really is, because that's that's time, and you can't buy something like that.
You cannot buy that. And we pass by this world so fast, if you don't catch a hold of it now, you know, it'll be too late.
Boy.
And... and then the Ducey's had, you know, told about this story that when their kids were little, they had this stairway, and everybody would try to see who could be first down the stairway. And they were little, he said. The little boy would try to get in front of the sister, and the baby was still little. And he said, to this day, on Christmas, everybody tries to be first down the stairs.
Of course.
And they're all grown. You know, they're all out on their own. But they come home for Christmas, They come out of those bedrooms and try to beat each other down the stairs. And it's a tradition.
So even though they're grown
everybody
people.
Everybody has a lot of traditions. Yeah, these are grown kids. And it still means something to them to try to beat each other down the stairs.
It's like they're five all over again. Wow.
It makes you want to be, you know, a little kid again. Christmas is for kids, and we're all kids at heart.
Yeah.
And it's just once a year, so everybody lets their hair down. And does things together, and I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, it really is. And then sometimes, if we used to when we were kids before we had like on demand and DVDs and videos and streaming and all that. We used to like whenever the Christmas specials would come on, like the claymation ones and the cartoon ones, like Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Frosty and all those. When we see the commercials come on, because you only got to see them once, and so you couldn't go see them on demand. When it came on TV, you better be there, you better be ready. And we'd all like gather around and make like popcorn and stuff like that. And it was a really special thing because everybody came together at the same time to watch all those shows. And now when we go back and see them, it's like it kind of brings back all those memories when those come on TV again.
And every year Christmas is making memories, to last you all year, and just think about in the future, that year we did this or that year we did that, or we had snow, which is not every year we're going to get snow, but the years we've had snow, everybody remembers all that.
Yeah.
And remembers going out and building a snowman. I know ours melted, but we still built one and made him eyes and the nose and did all that together. And I think it's just being with family and, like you said, creating new memories each year that you'll go back over the years and say, do you remember we did this?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember every time because you'd go see Santa Claus and sometimes you would see, a couple of different Santas each year. And when I was a kid, I used to try to figure out which one was the real one, because I think Santa has a lot of people that work for him because he can't be everywhere at once. So he has a lot of people that work for him. And I could never figure out which one was the real one and which one was the people that he had, on staff.
Yeah. Well, the real one has the bigger stomach, don't you? No, he has the bigger stomach, and his beard is for real. Figure that out. I mean, his beard, he's been growing it for years, and he has to trim it to keep it nice.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Claus helps him with all this.
Oh, yeah.
And, she's got that beautiful dress that she wears, the white apron. Her hair is up in a bun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean that's the real Mrs. Claus. And then you've got all the elves that are wonderful. These elves work tirelessly in Santa's workshop all year long to provide toys for people.
That's true. Yeah.
And that helps the parents a lot.
What I really like is those sometimes sometimes they're in like those like books, and then sometimes I've seen a lot of pictures like on Instagram and stuff like that lately where they have the different Santas from like around the world, the ones that are like our Santa is big and jolly, and then there's pictures of like the old timey Santa Clauses from like hundreds of years ago where they're tall and they have that large furry overcoat over them, just those old timey ones from Europe. Those kind of pictures are fascinating to me as well.
Oh, yes, and I've read books on the Christmases in other countries.
Mm.
And it's a lot different. A lot of them have their Christmas on Christmas Eve. Some of them don't have it till after our Christmas. And the different cultures in the different countries, as to how they celebrate Christmas is really, really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Traditions because all over the world. So different.
That's right. And all over the world, people are celebrating. And it's interesting to know the culture of all these and how they make it work.
Do you have a favorite Christmas memory from either recent or long past?
Long past. My favorite memory, a little girl, I wanted a little table and chairs so bad. And, I'd asked for it, didn't know if Santa would bring it. And that night, I got up in the middle of the night to see and went in there and sat down in my chair and at the little table. I never forgot that. It was marvelous. It was marvelous. I never forgot it.
Wow.
It was so great. Yes. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know. So that's one of my best memories, getting that little table and chairs. I think everybody has probably got one year that was really special, something they really asked for, and Santa delivered.
Yeah, yeah, really. Wow, that sounds really cute. That's awesome. That's neat.
Oh, yeah. I just, a little girl went in there and just sat down and enjoyed it, and nobody was up, and nobody knew that I had been in there and sat down.
You spent some quiet time all alone.
I spent some quiet time right there. All by myself, and really enjoyed it that early in the morning.
Wow, that sounds amazing. What about the food? Because I know that, you know, food for especially at the Bagby House on Christmas, you have a lot of different plans. A lot of times, you know, you'll go out, if memory serves me right, from past years. You usually go out. What about this year? Are you going out? Are you cooking?
This year? No. This year we're having to cook. I'm not saying having to cook, but a lot of times the country club's not even open. Yeah. So, this year we'll be doing the Christmas spread, lots of pies. Yeah. I always order the pies. Used to I had the time to cook all the pecan pies, the pumpkin, everything. So now that we've got all these bakeries that do, one of them's called Buttermilk Sky. And they're going to make hundreds of pies. And you order it, and you say, this is what I want, and you go and pick it up. They do a key lime pie that's out of this world. I've also ordered coconut pie that's to die for. And the pecan is just, you know, kind of a pecan. But the others, I love their little pies. They have the little 4-inch pies you can get. And everybody can have those little individual pies. That way you can have every kind you want. You
That's
don't
true.
Just get a couple. You get several of them. And everybody can have a little piece of all these different ones. It's wonderful.
What a neat idea. That's genius. Wow.
Those people are genius. And come to find out, it's a franchise. Buttermilk Sky is a franchise.
Really?
The lady that owns it here, they were in a different state. And they went to one of them and ate the pies and loved them. And they found out it was a franchise. So they bought the franchise, and they taught them how to do the pies just like they do it.
Really? So, like, literally, they liked it so much they bought the company.
They liked it that much they bought the franchise and opened up a pie store. Can
wow.
you imagine?
That's amazing.
Yes.
Jeez. You hear about that in movies, but not in real life. Wow.
And they opened up just before the pandemic, and they survived it.
Oh, how great. Man.
That's a great story, because they did survive it. And I know that when we went in at Thanksgiving, there was pies stacked to the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Literally.
Really?
To the ceiling. Yes. And their pies are just wonderful. And I think they charge like $22 a pie.
Ooh, that's not bad.
No, I didn't think so. And the convenience is worth it. And then to get a really good pie, you know, it's worth everything. And, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but if you're cooking and you're so busy, and if you get the desserts done for you, then that makes it a lot easier.
It really does.
You don't have to worry about that. Yes, you can worry about everything else.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's some of the best part about the holidays is all the sweet stuff. The delicious
treats. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
They're going to eat, and then they're just waiting to get to the pie counter or dessert counter if you're not having pie. You know, people are just trying to get to it as fast as possible.
Yeah, you rush through the main course so you can have some pie, and then after the pie's all done and you get full, and then you get re-hungry again, and it's like, well, what did we have for actual, like, the main course? And then you go back, and then you can enjoy it because you had pie.
And I don't know how they are at other places, but my family always wants to take pie and everything home with them.
Yes.
So when you make something, you've got to make enough for people to take some home.
Yes,
because they're going to want dressing, they're going to want turkey, they're going to want ham, the sweet potato casserole, they're going to want everything.
Yeah.
So they're going to have dishes ready, your plastic containers after dinner, you know, for him to take all this home. So if you don't have enough pie, then somebody will get shorted. So you always want to have extra pies.
And if you short people on pie, that's already going to get you on the naughty list for next year.
That's right. They're going to say, we might not go to her house. She didn't give us enough dessert.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want the people to have dessert and in abundance.
Oh, yes.
You know, Christmas, I think people eat more at Christmas than any other time. You know, I mean, because they've got all the candies. They've got everything in the world that they can get. So people try everything. If you've got, you know, five kinds of candy, they're going to try it.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what all you've got, people are going to be trying it.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. And not to get off track, but speaking of candy, I was at the store the other day. This is no lie. I promise this is the absolute truth. One store had a section of Valentine's candy out already. I'm not kidding.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
There's something wrong with these people. I mean, they're rushing us through life like it is. I mean, we're rushing and rushing. That's just too much.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm all gosh. For, like, celebrating, you know, with candy and all that, but my goodness, Valentine's already? I thought it was a bit much. But it was true.
I think it's a little too much. I mean, I think they're just going too far.
How did you start the day? What do you do on Christmas morning for breakfast? Because I know that's how it all starts, and then you get into lunch after a while.
Okay, I always have an egg casserole. Mm. We have this casserole we've been doing for years. We have that, and then we have biscuits with that. And then if the kids want jelly, they can have jelly. We always have hot cocoa. We have different kinds of coffee, you know, all the different flavors. And so that we start with that. And then we progress. Then everybody, you know, 11 o'clock or so, they're going to be into the candies and the cookies and all this.
Mm.
And then everybody's going to play games. And we always get new games every year. And that way there's always, you know, something new to play. And people do puzzles. They do all kinds of things. And then 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, we always have dinner about that time.
Mm. Wow, that sounds perfect.
It is. And then by this time, everybody's so full, they don't want to do anything. You know, I mean, we've got them down then. By 4 o'clock, you know, they're through. I mean, they've done everything they can do. And so people start going home by then.
Oh, good. So then you can kind of relax a little bit and take a nap.
That's right. Everybody needs a nap by 4 o'clock, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. If you do it right, you do.
That's wow. Exactly right. Yeah, if you've done this right, it'll work.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when we were planning our Christmas dinner a couple of weeks ago, we started going through things, and both of our families are so far away. They're like all over the place. So we don't actually, it's just really just us two. And so we start to plan the Christmas meal, and we're like, oh, let's have this. And then we'll have, you know, we'll start with, you know, like you say, biscuits in the morning. We love biscuits and gravy. So we'll start with, you know, gravy. And then it's like, well, let's plan, you know, for lunch, we'll have, you know, a ham or a turkey or you know, mashed potatoes dressing and gravy and all this. So we'll plan all these things out. We'll get to the store. We'll get all the ingredients. We'll get back, and it's just like, okay, by the time that we go through all the different ideas, we've actually got the ingredients and everything planned out for, like, 5 breakfasts, 5 lunches. It's like, this is too much. It's just us two.
Yeah, and everybody overbuys because your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Yeah, you say, oh, well, why don't I get some of this and some of that? And then you say, oh, my gosh, we can't cook all this. We would never be able to eat it all.
I know it. I know it. Especially if I'm in charge. If I've got to go do the shopping, I'm going to say, well, this looks great. And then I'll get something else. And so, well, that looks great. And it's like, well, I don't need 2 main courses. You know, but I'll get them. I'll get them every time.
Yeah. Men do that.
Yeah.
I know when my husband was alive, he always went to the grocery store. I never went. He'd say, make out the list and I'll go do it. So that was what he did on Saturday morning. And he would come back with things that I'd never even heard of. I mean, it was spectacular what he would buy. I mean, you know, I'd look at all that and go, holy cow, you know? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'd go, I don't know what we're going to do with all this.
Yeah.
But he would buy enough for an army. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to candy, he was a candy king. Oh. He would have every kind of candy in the world. He would buy nuts, every kind of nuts. It didn't matter what it was. And steak was his specialty. He loved steak.
Ooh.
So he'd buy a prime rib. He'd buy every kind of steak in the world, you know?
And not enough time to cook
cow.
It.
And we almost had a cow in the kitchen ready to go, you know, at any time.
So he was like me. I feel the pain, you know? you're trying to get a little bit of everything, and it's too much.
It is too much. But at the time, it looks like you're going to need it, so you're going to buy it.
Well, yes, because then you get into the thing. It's like, well, what if, you know, maybe we'll want, you know, this instead. But, well, geez, maybe we'll want the original idea. And so just to make sure that you cover all your bases, you end up getting both. I'm the worst at this. It's a disaster if I go to the store.
Men buy different than women.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Men always think, oh, we're going to need all this. And sometimes there's not even place to put it all. They get so much, you know. And a lot of women won't let their husbands shop because of that. Because they say, you know, the guy's going to buy everything the store's got.
Yeah.
You know? So they've got to slow them down a little bit.
Ooh, it's a disaster if the guy's going to the store, that's for sure. But those are the things that make great stories, and that's part of what makes the holiday special is all the we'll call it over planning.
That's right, over planning. I love that.
Oh my goodness, great Christmas holiday traditions. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I know we've spent the first half of the show talking about Christmas traditions and holiday stuff, but, I mean, gosh, it's Christmas. And so if I haven't said it, by the way.
It is Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Do you think we ought to do a little Christmas trivia?
We probably should. It's a tradition, and so let's, by all means, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's all about Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas trivia. So let's go and see how much of this you can get right.
All right, let's go.
Okay, what was the name of Rudolph's elf friend in the movie Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I know this. Hang on. He's the one that said, I don't want to make toys. I want to be a dentist. His name is Steve.
It's Hermie.
That's what
Hermie.
I meant. It's Hermie. Oh,
you meant Hermie.
I've seen it a million times.
Okay.
I should know that.
I know it. I thought you'd know that. Okay, what year was the original Miracle on 34th Street released? Do you remember?
Miracle on 34th Street, 1934.
47.
That's what I meant.
47. Okay. How did the Grinch come to Whoville?
He came down the sleigh from Mount Crumpet.
He didn't he?
Uh-huh. What?
Yeah, it was a basket. Can you name Rudolph's girlfriend in the animated version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? That's a hard one.
Yeah, that is a hard one. I can see them playing, yeah, and like rubbing noses and all that, but I can't remember her name. Nope.
It was Clarice.
Oh.
Clarice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the movie Elf, what is the first rule of the Code of Elves?
I did not see the movie Elf, but I'm going to guess anyway. Don't eat the candy. I don't know.
To treat every day like it's Christmas.
Oh, wow. That's even better. I like that one better.
Who won an Academy Award for playing Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, what was his
name?
Now,
this is a hard one.
I know it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's Edmund Gwynn.
Really?
Yes, Edmund Gwynn.
Huh.
Right. Okay. Now, the Polar Express, you remember that movie?
Oh, yes.
What did Santa gift the boy in the Polar Express?
A bell.
That's right. You got one.
Yay!
In the film, do you know who the voice was on most of those? He played 8 characters.
Which film?
In the Elf.
In Elf.
Oh, no, in the Polar Express. Excuse me. It was Polar Express.
It would be, what's his name? Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, you got it. That was a hard one, too.
Wait, he was actually the voice of 8?
He did all those voices.
Really?
He did 8 voices in that.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Why does the Grinch hate Christmas?
Why does the Grinch hate Christmas?
Yes.
He hated the season, the whole Christmas season. Don't ask me why. No one quite knows the reason. We don't know.
He didn't like people, and Christmas made people happy.
Oh, of course.
And the Grinch is lying. People didn't like him because. Do you know why they didn't like him?
No.
He says, because I'm green.
For real? Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's a good reason.
Do you remember who the Grinch's crush was? The name of the girl that he had a crush on?
I know it's not Cindy Lou Who. I don't remember. I don't know.
It was Martha May Whoever.
Really? I don't even remember that one. Nope. That one's new to me.
Okay, who were the two people who felt bad for the Grinch?
It would be, one would be, that's got to be Cindy Lou Who. I don't know the other.
And Martha May Whoever.
Of course.
And Martha May, too.
Ah.
Okay, where does the Grinch live?
On top of Mount Crumpet.
That's right. You got that one right, man. what is the name of the magician in Frosty the Snowman?
I feel like I should know this. I didn't realize he has a name. I can see it. I think in the thing, it's played by Bing Crosby, I think.
It's Professor Hinkle.
Oh, of course. Of course it is. Now I remember. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where did they film Holiday Inn?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know if I've seen that.
You don't remember that?
Uh-uh.
I thought everybody would know that. They filmed it in Connecticut.
Really?
Don't you remember? They talked about that a lot. In the movie Elf, how does Buddy get to the North Pole?
In a time machine?
He hid in Santa's sack.
Well, I'm really, really bad at this. Much worse than I thought.
I thought you'd get all these.
I know.
Okay.
All right, what else you got?
In the Christmas story, what does Ralphie receive from his aunt as a gift? Remember this?
From his aunt. That would be the pink bunny suit.
It was the pink bunny suit.
Yay!
Name the Christmas movie about a family who has not celebrated Christmas for 10 years. What was the movie?
The family that didn't celebrate Christmas for 10 years. I don't know. I can't remember.
It was Christmas Visitor. I didn't remember that one.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That doesn't sound familiar to me.
All right. Okay, what did Cindy Lou give to Max in the 2000 movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Okay, let me think. What did she give to Max? I can see it. I can see it. I just can't. I can't. A candy cane. I don't know.
Green eggs and ham.
Of course.
Okay. What did the little lady want for Christmas in Miracle on 34th Street? The little girl. Don't you remember?
I do. I remember.
She's trying to bring her mother and the guy together, and she said the only thing she wanted
was a family.
A house.
Close. And I know they get the house. They do.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Right at the end.
Yeah, because they think they're going to show the house, but it's actually theirs.
Who played a fake Santa and hid a piece of meat under his dirty beard in the 1983 classic Trading Places?
Oh, geez. I have no idea.
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd did that.
Some of these I forget. You would think I would know them.
It's been a long time since we've seen any of these movies.
It really has. I forget about some of them.
Yeah, everybody does. They forget because we haven't seen them in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to put you through any more pain. I mean, your brain, you know, is spinning by now, trying to remember all these things.
I know, it's so weird.
You haven't thought about in a long time.
We were just talking about all the classics and all the movies and TV shows that are out there, and it's so you spring some trivia on me. I probably did terrible.
Well, and of course, I did modern things. I didn't go back and do all the ones like White Christmas and Jingle Bells, you know, who wrote it and who did all this, because I thought, well, you'd probably be better at current movies than the old movies.
I know, and that was so disappointing, wasn't it? Because I butchered them.
Like the Polar Express and all these. I said, well, I know he's seen all these. You know, we'll do all these things that are new.
Yeah,
you know?
Boy, I didn't realize that Tom Hanks had done so many of the voices, though. I didn't know that. That's I knew
he did
a couple.
Yeah, he did 8 different characters.
Wow.
And I didn't know it either.
And I don't even think we've even seen it this year. I don't know if it came on TV or if we just missed it, or if it's us, up to us to like go find it. But I haven't even seen it. It's been probably a couple of years since we've seen The Polar Express. Love that movie.
Well, and since it was new, that's why I thought, well, you know, you'd probably catch on to all those pretty quick.
Yeah, and I remember the he didn't hear the bell because you can't hear it until you believe. And then once you believe,
That's right.
And the parents couldn't hear it because they didn't believe. Yeah, I remember all that.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
And I started to do all the things on A Wonderful Life. And I thought, well, that might be going back too far and might be too hard. All the things in that movie. Because I had all the trivia for it. And it's pretty hard because it's been so long ago.
Well, see, now we just saw it like a couple of weeks ago, so that's a little bit.
Oh,
fresher.
Well, you'd have probably done you would have done good then.
Yeah.
Because one of the questions it was who was the angel in it, you know,
Clarence.
So there, that's right.
Yeah.
So you'd have probably you might have got all of it. Who knows?
I'd have done well with that one. But instead,
yeah, and I thought, well, you wouldn't, so I didn't want to give you that one.
Now I'm on the naughty list.
Yeah, you're on the naughty list because you didn't know all that.
Yeah.
And especially on your new movies, I thought you'd get those.
I know it. But there's, I guess we just go back and watch like the old classics and don't watch the newer ones quite as often, I guess.
That's what I think.
I just found out the other day. I was not watching something. I saw something. I think it was on Instagram. It was like on like the History Channel or one of their feeds. I saw something, and it talked about A Christmas Carol from Charles Dickens. And apparently, Charles Dickens was in financial trouble, and he needed a story quickly to publish a book so that he could get out of financial trouble. And it didn't, so he wrote it in like, I don't know, I forget exactly how long it took him, but it was like really, really fast. It was only like a couple of days or a couple of weeks at the most. He started writing it around like October, and it was done and published in time for Christmas. It didn't get him out of financial trouble, but it helped a lot. And then a lot of there was a lot of plays and a lot of, you know, especially back then, like in the 1800s when it came out, there was a lot of plays and people would do their own readings and their own interpretations of it, and because it was such a wildly popular story, but he didn't get anything from it. So anybody, like, I guess they didn't have royalties back then, but a lot of people, when they would do plays, he didn't make any money off those plays. So he kind of got gypped a little bit in that department.
After all that.
Yeah, I just found that out the other day. I just read it on the internet. So there you go.
Everything is on the internet.
It really
whether
is.
It's true or not.
It
you,
is.
You can look at it and you can say, all this is true, or you can say, that needs to be verified, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody always told me, verify everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because you may see something that you say, oh, my gosh, this is true. And then you investigate and find out it was not true.
Yeah. Wow. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Well, let's see.
And there's a lot to pick from. So
I know there's so many. I don't know which one I would pick. Of course, It's a Wonderful Life. I always watch that every year. I mean, that's just a deal you have to do.
Yeah.
But I love White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many of the old ones that I'm really attached to.
Yeah.
Because of the lighting, the color, the drama of it, you know. And the new movies, to me, are not near as good. I mean, the acting was better, I think, than it is now.
Well, there's a lot of
actors and actresses. They don't even, they don't appeal to me a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that. And they also have a lot of special effects now. And so back, you know, in the old classics, you know, you kind of, it all kind of relied on the story and the acting and all that. And so you could really kind of, you know, see the how talented they were back then.
Yes, and TCM the other day did interviews with all these older actors and actresses, and they told how they got their start and how things really worked back then, and it was interesting. I found their stories so interesting, and how some of them didn't get along on the sets, and you couldn't tell it when they were acting that they didn't like each other.
Really?
I mean, there was a lot of really interesting facts. Then there was a lot of them that they remained friends the rest of their life.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yeah, and a lot of them talked about they acted with certain actors, and they became friends, and they were friends for the rest of their life. And they would, and several people, like Cary Grant, some of these people said, I want to select who is the co-star, and if it's not this particular actress, I'm not going to do it.
Really?
And so they would pick people that they'd worked with before, that they really liked, that were easy to get along with. And the movie that Marilyn Monroe was in, Some Like It Hot, they asked the people, they said, was she really as hard to get along with as they said? They said harder. She was really hard to get along with. And then she couldn't remember her lines. They said they had a terrible time. They had to do take after take. She couldn't remember anything.
Really?
In other words, she was kind of ditzy. And they talked about it. And the different actors and what made them. They got a break, and they were in maybe a B-movie rated. And they did such a good job, then everybody started hiring them, and then they became famous. You know, they became a really great actor.
Wow. I didn't know all that.
Yeah. And Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, as you know, that was one of the great love stories of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
And he was 21 years older than her. And they were in a movie together. And she said, you know, of course, he was married at the time. And what happened was he told her goodnight, and he walked by her chair and he kissed her. And that was the start of their love affair.
Really? Oh, yes. Wow.
And yeah. And so they fell in love, and then they got married, and you know, they had two children together. And then, of course, he became very ill with lung cancer, and he didn't live long. But their love story is quite a tale. You know, how they met, fell in love, and got married. And, you know, he was a lot older than her, and she was madly in love with Humphrey Bogart.
Wow. And it was literally just a spark like that.
Yes, and then you had Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. And, you know, they did a lot of movies together. I believe they did 10 movies together. And they were great in the movies. And, of course, you know, they fell in love. And they were never able to get married. Something was wrong with his wife. And he told Katharine Hepburn that he could never divorce her. And he never did. And when he got sick, Katharine Hepburn went to him and stayed with him, but she did not go to his funeral.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that came out that nobody knew about these people. And then wow. One of the actresses, and I can't remember her name right this second, and she's very good in the black and whites. This is in the 40s. She made 3 movies. Fell in love with this French director. She gave up movies in America, moved to France, and never made another movie.
Really?
Yeah, and she was very good. She was very young at the time. I think she was 22 or 23, and she made several detective movies and was very good in it. But she gave it all up for the man she loved, moved to France. They were married, and... she raised her family and never did another acting job.
Wow. So they just lived like a quiet life, really, from then on.
Yeah, lived a very quiet life and never went back and made a movie.
Wow.
Yeah. But they interviewed all these people about their life, about, you know, who they liked to do movies with and who they did not and who acted so bad that they didn't want any part of them. Yeah. Yeah. So it was very, very interesting because, they were a lot older now. And so they had a lot of things to say, you know.
Well, I bet they
about,
did.
About different actors, different actresses. And I guess that's why I like old movies.
Yeah.
You know, I relate to them because I think they were great actors, great actresses. And they really had to work back then. You know, now it's a lot easier. You've got so many things they can do. They can change things. They've got all the digital access. They've got everything. And back then, it was just straight acting.
Oh, yeah.
You could either do it or you couldn't.
Yeah.
And
it's fascinating sometimes because there used to be some show. I don't remember what it was. It's been a long time since it's been on, like something like Hollywood Mysteries or something like that. Anyway, they start talking about like personal lives of a lot of the old school actors, like you're talking about, you know, like back in, I mean, like the old school, like Valentino and Fatty Arbuckle and, you know, those kinds of.
Well, you're going way back now.
I know it. I'm pulling some names out. So they would talk about their lifestyle and like the parties that they would have and the things that they would do like off camera. You know, you never knew about any of it because you didn't have like, you know, TMZ and you didn't have paparazzi and you didn't have, you know, all these different outlets that were trying to catch celebrities doing stuff to sell magazines or to sell pictures or anything like that. They all protected them. And it was so weird to hear, you know, you see their work on screen and it looks so, you know, glamorous and so, you know, prestige. And it's just like you see what they're actually like. Life is like behind the scenes. And it's so shocking because it's so opposite sometimes. It's really, really weird. So, yeah.
Things are not always like they appear.
No, they're not. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah. So, yeah, some of the classics. I mean, it's probably one of those things where maybe even, you know, we start new traditions at the holidays, Christmas time. And maybe it's, you know, we watch, you know, the old movies. We pull those things out, you know, even like the Peanuts, you know, Christmas movie or, you know, like we all watched, you know, It's a Wonderful Life or, you know, maybe we watch like those old animated claymation Christmas movies. You know, we pull those things out and all kind of sit down and watch those throughout the day before we take our nap. Who knows? But
that's right. I mean, you know, but I think everybody should have traditions. Now, some people used to go out and hunt at Christmas.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, deer hunting, things like that. People, everybody has different traditions. And I'm always interested to hear about, you know, what different families do, what they like to do together. you know, the grandchildren went ice skating yesterday.
Ah.
So it's the time of year you can do all kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
And you can make new memories with your family and create new things. And everybody should get along at Christmas. They should get along all year.
Yeah.
But lots of times, you know, it takes Christmas to get them to really be nice to each other.
Yeah. Well, I know this year is different for you. You know, usually, you know, especially, you know, around all the food and all that. And this year is totally different. I remember Thanksgiving, you said that, you know, you actually cooked from scratch, like the whole thing, instead of going to the country club and doing all the things that maybe you've done in the past. And so we're in a different phase now. And so it's, yeah, you're right. You know, it's we're in that place where, you know, we're not only reflecting on old memories, but now we're making new ones as well. It's pretty cool.
That's right. And, you know, the grandchildren change you. It changes your life. You know, they're a lot of fun to be with. You love them. You know, in my case, we don't send them home because they're living with me. So, you know, your life changes every year. You may not be doing what you thought you were going to be doing this year. You know, you may be doing something different.
Yeah.
But everybody is where they ought to be, you know. If we're cooking, we got to cook. We got to do it. If we don't, that's a blessing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, whether we have a snow or not, you know, we're going to enjoy it if it's nice and warm. If we have snow, we'll enjoy that. And the llamas are good either way. They don't care.
Oh, yes. You know? Yes.
Yes. We'll just get them another bale of hay. They'll be fine.
They'll be just fine. That's all they want for Christmas is a new bale of hay.
But, you know, it is amazing about llamas and because they're very gentle creatures. You know, you can put a leash on them. You can do so many things with them. And you know, they're not violent like a lot of animals.
Yeah.
And the little kids can go around them, and they're very, very gentle. So, and I think animals are good for us, you know, doesn't matter what kind it is. And, you know, here in the neighborhood, every once in a while, somebody will find some little rabbits. And this lady says, what do I do with them? Well, you know, she didn't know what to do with them. She should leave them alone because her mommy won't come back and get them if she's over there, you know, doing something with them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we have some rabbits that are living under the gazebo.
Really?
And, you know, yeah. And we'll see them out, and they'll be out just running through the yard, then they disappear, you know?
Wow.
And so they're wild rabbits. They're not, you know, the household variety.
Yeah, they're not like a pet that you would bring in and sit at
That's
the table.
Right. That's right. But you know, I noticed that everybody's got every kind of pet in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they have the pot-bellied pigs. The best story of all in the neighborhood is this lady goes and gets a pot-bellied pig 2 months ago. She suddenly decided that she can't handle this big pig. Didn't she know they would get bigger and bigger? And she said, this one obviously is not used to being in the house, but now she wants somebody to take the pot-bellied pig, you know?
It's like puppies and children. They all grow, including pigs.
They all grow up. I knew a lady years ago that had a pot-bellied pig that roamed the house.
Oh, wow.
You know, people are crazy. Wow. They're crazy. You know, it's amazing what people will do, you know, in the name of having an animal.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, a dog, a cat in the house, I can understand.
Sure.
But a pot-bellied pig in the house is going a little far.
It's going a little far. It's too much.
It's going a little far. But, you know, we've got the neighbor that has 4 camels.
Oh, wow.
And who would have thought people in Texas would have camels right here?
Surprise.
Yeah, wow. They have 4 large camels.
Really?
These are not baby camels. They're large ones, yes.
Wow. All right. Well.
So, I mean, it's like a zoo. Everybody has a different kind of animal.
It's like
so,
a zoo.
You know?
Interesting. Neat.
Yes.
It's all the stuff that makes us who we are, and it's all about, you know, having memories and you know, doing, doing our own thing, but being unique and being true to ourselves. So,
That's right. And everybody is unique.
Yeah, that's the truth. So, Faye, I hope you have a happy rest of the day today and a Merry Christmas. And obviously, you know, next week we'll be into New Year's talk, and then we'll be into the new year, and then it's back to business as usual. So I hope you do have a little bit of time to kind of relax and take it easy this not only today, but this coming week as well, before we kick it back
into
2022.
Thank you. The same to you. And we wish all of our clients a Merry Christmas this morning. I hope all of you have got lots of pecan pie, lots of candy this morning. I hope you're doing all kinds of wonderful things. And we wish you all a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you the new year.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.